At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to the latest United We Stand podcast brought to you by Red Army Bet, a betting site with a difference. Not only are we offering the best available odds on a United win, we've also got exclusive special bets created by Reds. And as we share half our net profits with the United supporters community, no matter what, the fans can always end up winning. Check out our website, redarmybet.com, or download the app, Red Army Bet.
Welcome to the latest United We Stand podcast. I'm Andy Mitten, and it's 3 hours before kickoff. United are about to play Watford, and it's a beautiful day. It's not often we've been able to say that this season before a Manchester United game. We've not had a season as bad as this weather-wise in 29 years of doing United We Stand. December was absolutely horrendous. You could have a dry Friday, and then Saturday or the Sunday when the game would be on, lagging it down. So it's a nice to finish the season with a bit of sunshine. I'm stood at the junction with Sir Matt Busby Way and Chester Road, and I'm with Malcolm Hancock. Malcolm has sold souvenirs here. So for how long?
Since 1979.
And it's your last day?
Yeah, last day today. Yeah.
Why are you calling it a day?
I think this season's kind of kiboshed it, put the hat on it. With the weather we've had, it's just been like too much even for me, and I'm used to some bad weather here. But this season has just been, it seems like you were saying before, it seems to have waited for match day, every single one of them. We've had blizzards, rain, heavy pissing down rain every game. It's just been absolutely horrendous. And so I want to have a couple of Lions and come and have a beer and go to the game.
How old are you now?
67.
So you've done a massive shift. And how's the demographic, how have the United crowd changed over the years, the type of people going to matches?
Massively.
Yeah.
It's, you know, now it's sort of, I would say, a third football tourism, you know.
Yeah. Are they good customers for you?
Well, yeah, they are our customers.
Yeah. You know. Because locals...
They don't pump.
They don't buy, no.
If they do. You find that, like, the games where the locals come, with, like, the likes of... testimonials and things like that.
Yeah,
you sell the stuff, the Roy Keane, the Cantona, the Bestie. You know, everybody, nostalgia sells when it's stuff like that.
Yeah,
you know, and when we're playing shit, nostalgia sells.
Does it?
Yeah,
because I always remember Liverpool books outselling Manchester United books up until very, very recently. Well, even though Manchester United are a bigger club, and it's the nostalgia market.
That's right, because they didn't have the success, did they? So, you know. How long is it since they won the league now? 27, 28 years?
1990.
Yeah. And may it continue.
You've done a two-part series about some of your favourite memories, selling swag at Old Trafford. And we've had a very good feedback for that. Thanks for doing that. Some of the scrapes you've had over the years.
Yeah, some of it was at concerts as well as as well as the football.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just the...
And one of your biggest ones was when the Pope visited Manchester.
Oh, yeah, the Pope tour.
So you're following the Pope round selling Pope tour t-shirts.
And flags, papal flags, That was a good one.
Yeah.
Good earner. He's better than the Stones that year, the Pope.
Was he?
True, he was, honestly.
Amazing that the Pope.
We had more dough on the Pope than the Stones.
And have you ever been left high and dry by getting stuff made where it just hasn't sold, partly maybe because of the weather or because you've been nicked? Or?
Occasionally, but I would say, you know, it's always been... The goods outweighed the bad, you know, over the years. If after a while you get to know what you're ordering and you know what to get, how many to get and things like that. It's just sort of trial and error, you know. But there's been times, I remember one other time doing Michael Jackson at Wembley with a fly poster which was about 7 foot by 3 foot.
Yeah.
So you can imagine the weight of that. Yeah. Walked all the way around Wembley Stadium with it. You've been there often enough, you know how big it is. We've walked from like Wembley Park Tube all the way around to the other side. Flop the gear down, bollocks, fucking cut it open, threw it open, Pink Floyd, the wall.
You're joking.
200 Pink Floyd, the wall. Try and sell them at Michael Jackson fans. You can't get back to the van to get them, you know.
The first bit of feedback I got on your article last month was from my mum, which surprised me, because I didn't think that she read United We Stand, so I'll have to watch what we write in the future. But she said she knew you back from living in Old Trafford in the 60s.
Back in the day, yeah.
So
yeah.
You used to knock about with her?
Yeah, we used to go to clubs and stuff together when we were like in our teens.
Yeah.
So you're gonna, sister.
You're going to enjoy going to United? Well, maybe. And just watching the games as a fan now, not having to work.
It'd be really novel because, everybody comes as a beer and, like it's a different sort of ball game. It's like when I go to an away game, it's great. I really enjoy it. So it's going to be like...
Because you're not working.
Yeah, I mean, I have no idea what it's like at home for years.
When did you last see a kickoff time at home?
Oh, I never missed the kickoffs. Right. It's the goals at the end I miss.
What? How far before the end?
Hundreds.
Yeah.
5 minutes I've missed. You can imagine how many I've missed. In the Fergie era especially.
Yeah.
But, it's the standing joke with everyone I sit next to is that, Malt, will you go so we can score? The sooner you go, we'll get one. I've missed loads.
Lovely to talk to you.
All
the best.
Andy. Good man.
I'm going to carry on walking down.
Cheers.
Matt Busby way. I hope to see you around.
Nice one.
Take care, mate. So it's the final home game of the season. It's Watford at Old Trafford. It's a nothing game, really. I'm told that some players who've never played before are going to play the game. Watford are safe, United have finished second. A lot of positives from this season and a bit of frustration as well because the football has not been great as often as people would like it to have been. But we've had some fantastic results. Beating City away was brilliant second half. The second half at Palace was really good. Beating Liverpool at home, I think that's the best atmosphere I experienced at Old Trafford. Been a few good European trips as well. And there's always loads of room for improvement. And I was looking at some statistics yesterday that Salah had scored 31 league goals. United's top scorer is Romelu Lukaku. He's had a good season and he scored 16. I'm just coming up to the lads who were selling United We Stand. You've been stood in all weather selling it this season. How bad has it been? What was the worst day?
For me, Brighton, I reckon.
Brighton in a cup in March.
Yeah, I reckon it was.
That was when it snowed.
Oh, absolute blizzards every 5 minutes. I've been doing this about 8 or 9 years now, and this has been,
Hello,
for me, the worst season ever, weather-wise. It's been horrendous.
So nice today.
Yeah, what an extreme, what a different extreme this is, eh?
Yeah, Brighton was bad, though, wasn't it? We actually sat the game off and sat going in the ground and went to the pub and watched it because we couldn't stand any more cold.
How will this season be remembered? I know it's still in play because we've got the FA Cup final next week. And how do you think history will remember this season?
It's not... Progress has been made. We were six last year. And it's a massive difference. But I just think, considering the gap City of, from us to them, that's going to make it go obviously a bit more disappointing. But if we're in next week, I still consider it as a success in my view.
Hard to bridge that gap given how good City look.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but it's just we're still struggling from when Fergie left, and that's the matter of it. And
someone said to me after West Ham the other night, look, we're just going to have a few years where we're not the best team and you've just got to take it. And that's the way that football is. It's just hard to take when you see how big Manchester United are. You see the quality of the players there. I didn't do West Ham after the game because I went downstairs to try and speak to some of the players and did do them. That was so, so bad for me as a game.
Yeah.
That was so terribly bad. 0-0. Yeah. It was woeful. So
the meaningless games by the end of the games. Them games should be like soccer age, shouldn't they? Them games should finish 7-0.
Rather than 0-0.
Yeah. Sort of games. I know he wants to finish second, but you can't tell me with two games to go, we need 1 point. Yeah. One of the games open to Watford, you can't play a bit more gungo and have a goal. And that's what lets him down. You can't really argue with the results, The progress has been made, the point to tell is okay, but it's the manner of it. And alright, in certain games you've got to go and play away. You can't tell me against, I mean, the league's absolutely tossing it. 14 teams in that league, you shouldn't have to play that way against them.
I spoke to a couple of the West Ham players after the game, and one of them's played pretty much every game this season for West Ham, and he said Manchester United were in the top three worst teams that have come here. That's how bad they were. Now you can say United didn't need to win it.
Yeah.
United put four goals past them at Old Trafford. So, but he's also entitled to his opinion. And he said City came a few weeks earlier and just battered us.
Yeah.
just battered us.
Yeah. It still plays a part, though, doesn't it? You know, you've got the cup final next week. You know, if you're a player, do you really want to go into tackles at 100%, knowing that it might knock you out of the cup final? But what was more disappointing for me was, like, for example, Brighton, when he's played fringe players who might be looking at getting, one or two places up for Grattan, and they didn't really take it. They didn't look bothered.
It's obviously don't trust a lot of them players. I think if he gets...
Do you think they trust him, the players?
Some of them I don't think they do. I think he's... In my view, I think he's singled out a couple of them unfairly.
He was an attacking player. Would you want to play for Mourinho if he's an attacking player?
Well, they don't.
Exactly.
So the problem they've got is he earns too much money. So they look for a move because they want to enjoy the football, but no one can afford to pay what Manchester United are playing.
The thing is, we have seen decent football. It's not as much, but I have seen that we can play decent stuff.
Been some really good games this year.
I really have enjoyed a lot of the games.
And not just the headline ones. I remember coming out of the Newcastle game in November, where they took the lead, thinking, well, I've just seen a really good game of football here. I don't buy into the total doom, but it would have been nice for the season to finish on a high with...
But you can't just all blame the manager either. You've got to blame a lot of the players for that, because they've churned out some good performances. A week later, we get beat off, Brighton, for example, and it's not good enough, that. So
I can't wait today for us to go 1-0 up and shut up shop.
Michael Carrick's last game. What are your favourite Carrick memories?
He's one of them players you don't really have that many memories of him, do you?
Because he doesn't score that many goals. He influences rather than changes games.
Yeah. He just goes about his job very quietly. I think that's his most memorable thing about him, is how unmemorable he is, if that kind of makes sense.
John, Carrick?
Hi, Andy. I think I remember about 5 years ago, everyone was slating him and saying he needs out. He was like the kind of one everyone loved to hate. Yeah. And he's turned it round at the end of his career, which is all credit to him. You know, and like the lad said, he doesn't get many goals, but he's one of them. We're missing when he's not there.
He brings that control for me to a football match. He's a Rolls Royce for me. I've always been a
what,
big
a car?
Fan of me.
Yeah, that's not a human.
Smooth.
Have you ever driven a Rolls Royce?
Stop all this shit. I'll get this enough.
He can probably get a contract extension anyway.
Well, he didn't expect one in 2016 or 2017, so. Can't fully write him off. Alright, I'm going to carry on. I'm just walking across the Old Trafford forecourt, a glorious day, and I hear, rather than see, a gentleman singing, and then I look over and see him, because you're a Watford fan. What's your name?
Scott Archer.
Right, and could you describe for people listening your attire today?
Well, I've come in a nice pair of sparkly silver shoes and a nice green sequin tailcoat.
Where are you from?
I'm from Walsall in the Midlands.
How long have you followed the Hornets?
14 years in county.
Do you get to a lot of games?
I go to whichever games that take my fancy, really. I've never really been a fan of going to watch and play the big clubs, because 9 times out of 10 you always guarantee that you're going to lose.
Why does a man from Walsall support Watford? Why not Walsall or Villa or West Brom or Wolves?
Well, you see, I grew up in a West Brom family. My dad's a big Albion supporter. His sister, big Albion supporter. My youngest sister then followed the Albion as well. And football never really appealed to me until I really started getting into Elton John's music.
Yeah.
And that was just the start of it. And from the first time that I went down to Vicarage Road, I've just fell in love with the place. I can't get enough. I've got to keep going back. It's like a drug.
So the Elton John connection is the main reason.
Yeah. I mean, he's inspired me to do a lot of things in my life. I still think, even when I was growing up in my teens, I nearly died from my appendix bursting. And there was a certain song from an album called Goodbye Yellow Brick Road called Someone Saved My Life Tonight. And I think that song is what I believed saved me from certain death. And, I've just always been connected to his music, and I just can't get enough.
You've got glasses of the style which Elton John would wear. You've even got an earring, if I'm not mistaken. Has Elton John got an earring like that as well?
Pretty similar, but he's got more earrings and glasses than I could ever imagine.
Have you ever met him?
I've seen him 4 times. I've literally come as close to him as I am to you now, which is, what, about
20 centimetres?
20 centimetres away. When I went to see him on my second concert, the Red Piano in Birmingham at the NIA. back in 2008. I just wish at the time I'd have asked him if I could have gone on stage and sang your song with him.
What's your favourite Elton John song?
I've always been a fan of I'm Still Standing.
Yeah. Can you sing?
I can.
Go on. There's 20-odd thousand people listening to this. Can you do...
And you can tell everybody this is your song. It may be quite simple, but now that it's done, I hope you don't mind. I hope you don't mind that I put down in words how wonderful life is with Sir Elton in the world. I hope you don't mind. I hope you don't mind that I put down in words how wonderful life is while you're in the world.
Really good.
Thank you.
You've got a good voice.
I did go on the X Factor many years ago. But
did you?
The less said about that, the better.
You're getting a tech. People are starting to look at you now. You can hold your tune now, can't you? What's your day job?
My day job, I work for a recycling company in the West Midlands called Jack Moody's Landscaping and Civil Engineering.
Yeah.
And they deal with recycling. Yeah. Various green waste products and food waste, and they turn it into compost.
I'm Still Standing's a bit of a tune.
Yes.
Go on.
Don't you know I'm still standing better than I ever did? Looking like a true survivor, feeling like a little kid. I'm still standing after all this time, picking up the pieces of my life without you on my mind. I'm still standing. Yeah, I'm still standing. Yeah.
Good on you. We've never had an away fan singing on this podcast before. We've been told where to go by Liverpool fans, but singing with such pride. And how has this season been for you with Watford? Because you're an established Premier League team now, and yet you've tailed away pretty badly after Christmas and changed your manager.
Well, the problem there was obviously when a club at our level does so well, then you have bigger clubs like Everton, for example, who came poaching Marco Silva, which kind of turned his head. And you know,
I was at that game in it was in November. You played West Ham at home, and I thought it would be Silva's last game as a Watford fan because he was going to Watford, and the Watford players thought that as well, but Watford decided that they didn't want to let the manager go to Everton, and then it sort of fell apart after that, didn't it?
Well it's like with any situation, when something so big or a bigger job opportunity comes along, it tends to turn the head of the manager, and you kind of then, you know, you push yourself for a better position. I mean, before Marco Silva came to Watford after getting relegated with Hull the previous season, Crystal Palace came looking at him. Mm. And obviously Crystal Palace are a little more established than what little old Watford are.
What do you think of Manchester United?
Yeah, you can't knock Man United for what they've done. I mean, Alex Ferguson's really been the main instigator in Manchester United's success over the years. I know since he departed and he brought David Moyes in, things haven't kind of congealed back to the Fergie way, so to speak. But you can't knock Man United for what they've done. They're a big club, they're a great club. And, you know, even now Sir Alex is now sitting in the boardroom, or at the minute in a hospital bed. You know, they will strive to get back to the level of what they did in the 80s, 90s and early 2000s.
What we did in the early 80s was get beat by Watford and get knocked out the FA Cup, but I know exactly where you're coming from.
I was saying that, so did Arsenal. We were the first club in 4 years to kick them out of the FA Cup.
Well, finally, a prediction for today?
I'd like to see Watford beat them 3-1.
But I bet you would.
It would be nice, but we've also got to consider results of Newcastle, Bournemouth and Brighton as to whether we end up finishing 10th or whether we stay 13th.
There's £1.9 million per position, isn't there? So like 10 million quid.
Well, we're playing for the money today, and Manchester United are just waiting for next week where they can go out and beat Chelsea in the FA Cup final.
Thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
We're all listening to that.
Welcome to the post-match bit of the United We Stand podcast. I believe Andy's done half of it, and if what he's told me is on it is true, you'll probably be glad to hear us. Right, with me I've got John Aston, I've got Ant Short, Bloomy's here, Aaron's here, Stu Edwards, he didn't bother today, so I don't know where he is, but he didn't miss out, so there's just the five of us. We're not really going to go into the game too much. We thought we'd do a bit of a season review, because we could spend here literally the rest of tonight talking about that game in the same way that we talked about just about every other game. In terms of just the sort of last three or four games, that's got to be one of the weakest, tamest, most boring ends to a season I think we've ever had.
Yeah, we needed 1 point from three games.
And got it.
Yeah, and I thought, you know, at least he could play a couple of kids or play some attacking football, but I just sense today that there's, you know, the whole ground, the whole club seems very flat at the moment.
Do you remember that season when we pissed the league in the last three games of the season? You just put half a team out and we got beat 3-0 pretty much every game. That was better than the end of the season that we just had. We just all sat there going, you just can't wait for this to end. Even a cup final next week, you're thinking, I just can't wait for a break.
Can't wait for it to end, mate. I just can't.
You know, it's worth saying as well, though, that there was lads, you know, probably paid 2 days off work. Free, you know, maybe 300, 400 quid going to Brighton and West Ham the last 2 weeks.
Dickheads like me.
Yeah, and I do. I feel really sorry for them. They deserve a lot better than that, in my opinion.
Thanks, mate.
It's been a bit flat, hasn't it, at the end of the season? I think when you get into games where, you know, it was a formality that we were going to finish second. And yeah, like I said, they're not dead rubbers, but, you know, they're meaningless games, really, and today was another one of them. It's unmemorable, and at the minute, I'm not looking forward to United. I'm not enjoying watching them either.
Yeah. Well, can you put your phone on silent?
Yeah. If you hear some music that sounds like it's come from a fairly eastern part of Europe, it's Bloomy's new ringtone. Yeah. Anyway, well, speaking of which, what's this about lube being found in the back of your car?
This is years ago. This fucking up Blackburn away. I drove that one night, and nothing happened. Just happened. The lads just happened to find some lube in the car.
That's like you do. But, so, whose was it?
No, we went. They're hanging. I remember we went going out into the Arndale one day, and they're handing out like outside Ann Summers bags and shit. And the missus happened to get one and left it in the fucking car, didn't she? And everyone thought I'd been fucking shit.
Does it not worry you that it was found in the back and not the front?
Yeah,
well, the only driver you missed in the back.
I've got an embarrassing story about that. I borrowed my cousin's car once, and he had a similar pack in it, and I decided to put it in the glove compartment, and I started a new job, and I took a colleague out, and I said, it was a woman as well, I said, yeah, can you just get me phone out the glove compartment? She opened it up, condoms and lube.
Oh dear, you see, even you've got to laugh, haven't you? I'm not sure if I'm satisfied with your answer to that question. If I'm being honest, how long ago was it?
That year, City won the league, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Could be for
you. The first one.
2012. 2012. 2013. Yeah.
When we thought we were going to win it at Blackburn that night.
So, have you used it all yet?
Saturday.
Just instead of going, obviously United have won today, but it was just an unbelievably testimonial performance, and it wasn't even as good as that. I think you even described it as worse than Soccer Aid, but just sort of let's not dwell on today from a game point of view. Let's just sort of summarise just the season in general. Where would you sort of put this in the grand scheme of the sort of last 10 seasons?
It'll be one of them you just look back, it'll be not a bad statistic, will it? You don't look at points and everything else, but in terms of memorable games of football, it's forgettable, very forgettable. It's not Van Gaal's second season bad, but I don't think it's even been anywhere near as good as last season. Like I said, we've done better in points-wise, but I preferred last season to this.
I think the manager's performance has just been adequate. I think you come to Old Trafford to enjoy football, don't you? And if someone told me now, you know, United can win every game 1-0 next year, but you can't watch it and not enjoy it, then I wouldn't take it. So, like, you know, it's far more than that. You watch football for a release and to enjoy, and I'm just not, I don't think I can count on one hand the amount of games I've enjoyed at Old Trafford this season, unfortunately.
Nothing will be that answer than our season for me. I saw 13 goals at my end that year, so it's nowhere near as well. We actually started off pretty well this season, and I think I said it a few times, that Liverpool game for me at Anfield, it just seemed to go downhill after that, and performances went downhill as well.
13 goals, is that all you saw?
That's what I saw.
Okay, no.
I think like I said to you before,
no, you didn't use that lube.
The difference between this team and the Van Gaal team is that we let them just pass the ball from side to side all game.
That's what it's turned out to be like. That's what it's looking like, isn't it? Aaron, where would you place the season in terms of, how would you sum it up?
I think if we'd have been closer to City points wise, then we could have probably called it a relative success. We've finished second in the league, but we have been the best of the best, really, which, you know, it's not the end of the world, but I look for performances and look for consistency, and too often this season, you know, we've been inconsistent. We've turned up for games thinking we can just roll teams over, and yeah, I'm struggling really to count really good performances on one hand.
Tottenham get a bit of stick, don't they? Because obviously they get a lot of praise. Some people don't like to sing praise because they never win anything. But I think they've won 5-4 today. I mean, 5-4, that's our goal difference in November. And it's all right. You might get a pot at the end of it. But
just on that then, is obviously, you've often used this phrase, means to an end, John. Does winning the FA Cup next week make this a season of success or not?
Well, any season you win a trophy, you've got to class it as a success, because you've finished second in the league. But the difference, success, like Lance just said, you could win 1-0 every week and it would be a success. But it's terms of how you perform. There's a way to play at this club, but, and I know it's a bit of a cliche, but you can't just win at all costs.
And does winning the FA Cup save this season?
Yeah, I think it does. Yeah, but like, it doesn't make memories, does it? And I know there'll be a lot of people listening, thinking, you know, you're miserable, you know, you're spoiled, and, you know, who enjoyed today?
What's the most frustrating thing is, it's not like we've not got the players there to not be able to be, you know, you should be going to watching Paul Pogba and Sanchez and them sort of players and be entertained by them. You shouldn't have to be functional with those sort of players.
Spends 150 million every season and we're shit to watch.
And letting the cat out of the bag there, that our wives listen to this podcast. Shouting at us, calling us miserable bastards, and how much they hate us. Yeah, does winning the FA Cup save the season?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. But as the lad said, it's not been great from, I'd say, from that Liverpool game onwards. They've gone into themselves a little bit for me. It was going well up until that. There was free flowing football, and I think it just.
The manager's, you know, he's made. I think the club feels really flat. Yeah. That's my problem. Yeah. I mean, even like today. The players look flat, they don't look like they run a lot. I mean, even when the manager has a press conference, he's flat as anything. He's never on, you know, like he used to be, charismatic. I just think we're an incredibly boring club at home.
Yeah, we'll come back to that point in a minute. Just a quick one, Aaron, FA Cup, does that save the season for you?
Well, yeah, because it'll be a great day out, won't it? And then that'll just be the highlight of the season. Yeah. But, you know, the fact that I can't wait for the season to end speaks volumes about how the last six, seven games have gone for me.
Just wait till you hear my player of the season. That'll sum the fucking season up for you. Speaking of the cup final, John, how did you get on in the ballot?
Fuck off. I didn't get chubbed, put it that way, but no, as you're well aware, I woke up pissed up in a hotel room the day of the applications were done and realised I'd forgot to apply for me and four of my mates.
And are they still your mates?
It was a very, very difficult conversation in the morning.
Are they still your mates? I saw Kieran before.
Yeah, well, Kieran's managed to get one, so he's still my mate now. Yeah. But,
the others have still got a fat wife.
If you got one and weren't in the rest of it.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
I reckon he's still got one. Though.
Do you reckon? Yeah, you've got connections. You could easily land on one.
To be honest, that's the thing. I probably could sort one or two, but sorting four is a difficult one. So I kind of just started going to some outside. Right, I'll go to the bottom of the queue if I get one. But we'll see what happens on Saturday.
You still coming out?
We'll see what happens on Saturday.
You still coming down?
I don't know yet. Yeah. I'm going to decide this week.
Yeah, right. I'll be bullying you all week. he'll be on that coach. Don't you fucking worry about it. Obviously, we talked about you know, the season. We're going to just we'll come back to that in a minute in terms of sort of high points and stuff. But a few players today that I'm guessing that it was obvious through team selection and obviously through a couple of substitutions who we've probably seen the last of today. Who would you place into that category? Have we seen the back of?
Lind, Darmian. Well, you're hoping that them sort of players are going to be going. Carrick, obviously. Although I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a contract extension because they played all right, didn't he?
So that best midfield.
That's the fucking. He has been every. Yeah.
Of all them players we played today, would you really be that arsed if any of them went? No. I don't know.
We've spent about £500 million trying to replace Michael Carrick, and our best midfielder is still Michael fucking Carrick. That's the saddest part.
I think there's a big question mark over Martial being left out as well today.
Stormed off apparently. Yeah. He's left the ground in a huff because.
Yeah, but he does
that after scoring two. Yeah. What are your thoughts on who have we seen today? Can't get my fucking words out. Who have we seen today, and perhaps who haven't we seen that you don't think we'll see next season?
The thing is, there's that many players who are like, you know, 6, 7 out of 10 you'd probably give them as footballers, if that. Mata for one, Blind, Rojo. You know, you could get rid of the squad, couldn't you? But then you can't do that because you're not going to replace them.
I don't think I've been more arsed about United team for a good long time.
Yeah.
A good few years. This is one of the most unarsed, uninterested set of lads.
Do you remember when United ended up having like it was like that time when we had like Jemba and Clevison and fucking Bellion. It's got that sort of feel about it, hasn't it?
Yeah, but there's definitely there's five on the pitch today that could potentially be leaving. And I still have a few question marks over McTominay. I don't really think he's good enough, and I know that it's quite harsh, but you know, it takes a certain footballer to play for United, and he seems to always take the safe option. And you know, he's drilled positionally, isn't he, by Mourinho, to just stand in a certain zone, and it's not good enough, is it, for United?
What's annoying today, though? Why play a game, and it was a meaningless game, with a load of reasonably unmotivated players anyway, when you could just, why not play some of the kids?
That's what annoyed me. When I saw the squad, I thought, just, I know what's going to happen again. It's going to be the same boring shite. Unless, like, if you got a couple of the kids in, gives you a bit of energy and stuff. And, you know,
what are we getting? You might have just wanted certain players to have a final appearance.
I think that was definitely a theme of it, without a doubt.
Fellaini's staying then.
Well, the other, I don't know if you've read it in the mag, but there's a reference to the fact that Eric Bailly might not be getting on very well with the manager either, which would be a little bit concerning.
Well, I think the problem with our centre halves is they're all about the same level. We've got about five. I know everybody, you know, goes on about Bailly and Jones at times, but I think all our centre halves will put them in a 7 out of 10 bracket when you consider all their injuries as well. So
Mourinho come up with something really weird, though, didn't he, about saying that the reason why he's not been playing him is because he's not going to the World Cup, and he wanted to give the World Cup players a chance or something.
Is that what, during one of his interesting press conferences? Yeah. No, but Eric
that
Bailly,
was an odd thing to say.
I think United have got about five centre-halves that are all 7 out of 10. They've all got faults, whether it be injuries or the performance on the field. So I'd just like us to get rid of one of those, maybe, whether it be Rojo or, you know, any of them, and just bring in the Spurs.
I think the problem that we've got with our defenders, and pretty much most of the side actually, is that they do put in the 7 out of 10s, but their best games are only 8 out of 10s. You don't get 9s and 10s, and you don't get those absolutely standout performances where you leave the ground raving about
you
one player.
You could say that about the whole team as well. I think every single performance where I've been, you know, positive when I'm leaving the ground this year, has been mainly, it's been like workmanlike performances rather than actual, you know, dominating the team. I don't think we do. I just think we grind games out.
Yeah. There's definitely a theme around the United support of real apathy, real, like, thank fuck that season's over with. And that's not a great indictment of the squad, but also the manager. At what point do you think he's going to start to tip over the edge from a fans backing him and wanting him to stay? Because I think at the minute, fans want him to stay, but I think they want him to stay, but they want him to play better and they want him to cheer up. But at what point do you think that changes to he needs to go now?
They'll probably give him another season, but you know, the toys might be thrown out the pram before then. If he doesn't get who he wants in summer, if he doesn't get who he wants in the summer, then you know, he's going to be grumbling. He won't be shy going to the press, slagging off, you know, the powers
not
that
three,
be.
Not four, fucking
hell. But yeah, I mean, probably October, November. If seven or eight points
behind, it's alarm bells will be ringing.
It's
down
pretty simple, isn't it? Next year we have to entertain and we have to challenge the league. And if you don't, then it's probably never going
to
happen.
I think it's got to that point, and it where we all think his destiny's like a couple of months into next season. Yeah. You know, either way, I don't. We can't be at this stage next season where every game you go into is pretty shit. You know, fans travelling 500 miles on a bloody Friday night, and then just watching absolute shite served up. You know, I think I'm hoping that he'll change his ways, but I'm not 100% he will.
Okay, quick one before we get on to that, our end of season awards. United FA Cup final prediction?
I'd rather be playing anyone other than Chelsea, because just our record against them isn't great, but I don't know. I think it's going to be tight. I think it'll be an extra time job. I think we'll win 2-1 after extra time.
Yeah, I can see it being quite tight. The league game at Old Trafford a couple of months ago was probably the worst standard of United and Chelsea game I'd seen in years. But I think we can just sneak it. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we'll just nick it 2-1, I reckon.
I think it'll be extra time. Like, I don't think we'll keep a clean sheet, so 1-1 and then snatch it in extra time, hopefully.
Here we go again, slagging United off, and then we opened it that we were going to win a trophy in a week's time.
Well, to Newcastle today, so
yeah, but they'll have just rested every fucker, wouldn't they? I would imagine. I remember United getting beat 5-1 at Watford the week before the cup final. I remember us getting beat 4-0 the week before the cup final at Forest in 1990. And the funniest thing about that game was there was a Palace one. Yeah, we got beat by Forest 4-0. We were 4 down after 27 minutes, and we'd all been battling to get in. Because there was too many bits, and then we end after 20 minutes we're fighting to get back out. It was fucking great. I think if the United that turned up against Tottenham turns up against Chelsea, I actually think United win that game more comfortably.
These big games, we seem to turn up from.
Yeah, it's not the big games. We fucked it up in this season. I think we've sorted that bit out, but it seems to have come at a cost of how we're playing. In some of these other games, so
miss Chelsea, aren't they? You know, some days they look brilliant, other times they look woeful.
Yeah. No, I think I'm going to go 2-0 United actually, and I think it'll be an easier day for us than you guys have suggested. So either I'm going to look an absolute genius next week, or I'm going to stand out as the biggest twat on this podcast more than I normally do. I've asked you for a couple of questions just to sort of wrap it up. What's your high and low point?
The high would obviously have to be, in terms of my own experience, because I wasn't at the derby. That's probably would be the high point, but Tottenham in the cup semi-final was probably my favourite day out. Low point, fucking hell, anything over the last month or so. West Brom at home,
the alarm going off on match day.
High and low point. My low point definitely was Seville. I just thought everything, it just wasn't the Man United that I know, and you know, started watching when I was younger, and he'd have a go even if it were Real Madrid. You know, it was just absolutely shit that night. I can't even. Most of the night I've been leaving the ground since Celta Vigo. Yeah. Where we just nearly got knocked out.
Yeah, you were furious about that. Yeah, we got a load of grief on the podcast after that, didn't we?
Yeah. The next one was the high point, I think, has to be the Manchester derby. I just think City's season has run a bit flat, and that's due down to that. Yeah. I thought it was everything for them to win it against us, and we spoiled it.
Yeah, you say about Seville, but for me, West Brom, that was even worse for me. It was shocking. Just everything about it, and the fact that City won the league that day as well. But the high point was the derby, because beating them, it's forever tainted now. That for them, it's that's hurt them. You can tell you can see it in the face whenever they talk about it. It's, they wanted that more than anything else, and we took it away from them. So that's got to be the high for me.
Yeah, I enjoyed the derby. I enjoyed the semi-final as well against Spurs. You come to me last and everyone's given the answer I'm going to give. Like Shaw says, the Seville game was absolutely diabolical. I can't remember being so angry. I was that angry after that game that I couldn't speak, because they were a good side, and they were just the way Mourinho set up, and you could just see it coming. That were the worst thing, and if you can see it coming and a manager can't, then you got to worry.
I'm with you, Bloomy, on the low part. I wasn't at Seville. I've not mentioned it before, but I was at Cheltenham. But West Brom at home. Yeah. I think largely because it came after what we did, which was everybody's high point, winning that derby. When them tramps parade that trophy around Manchester tomorrow, probably in front of a handful of people, we know that deep down that it's this tinge of regret that they didn't manage to win it against us. And you look at how it kills them every time, and no matter what, they're going to lift the Premier League trophy tomorrow, and there's going to be tinges of regret that they didn't do it against us. And you only have to look back to their comments on Twitter the night of that derby game. It really, really rankled with them. So when they're doing that tomorrow night, just remember that, because they fucking hated what we did to them in that game. Absolutely. So, I think that was definitely the high point. There was a couple of others as well. I think the semi-final was a good call. I thought the first half against Liverpool, where we clearly proved that we had a better side than them when on our day. And then I think the other one that stood out, I thought the away game at Arsenal was an exceptional game of football, and United completely deserved... I thought he did the job, yeah, absolutely. Watford away was pretty good as well. Anyway, I was eating them last night in the Travelodge watching Eurovision while you were eating a three-course dinner that I was meant to be at, yeah, absolutely. And just handing around the pastels here. Right, player of the season. We'll do third place first each. So, Dubs.
I was thinking about this before. It's one of those seasons where, apart from where, for me, the winner stands out. From second to about 10th, I don't think there's actually that much between them all. So third, I'm going to go Ashley Young, who I think's had a really good season. And one thing that baffles me with United fans is when they go on about us needing new left-backs. I mean, how good do they think a new left-back's going to be?
Romelu Lukaku, which is, you know, he's fit to play most games, which means he's automatically better than half the fucking squad. And then,
if we hadn't been for his goals this season, God knows where we'd have been.
Yeah, and he puts a lot of effort in, and you know he has got limitations, but you know he's really, really grafted this year as a United player, and you know hopefully he can improve his all-round game.
I'm going to go for Matic, number three. I thought it started off really well first couple of months. Had a little dip. He picks up again soon
he
after.
He's been today in a box up behind us. Most people just spent the second half watching him rather than watching football.
Yeah, I think he's been pretty solid. He's been all right. So number three for me.
I think for the goals he scored, Lukaku for me. He came here, was question mark over whether he could do it at a big club, whether he could do it against other big teams. And just for his goals after Christmas, you know, without those goals, I don't think we'd have come second in the league.
Yeah, totally. One thing's definitely for sure, you've got to score goals to win games of football. So, you know, I totally agree. And I'm going to put Lukaku third as well. I think his goals have been all right. I actually like the way he carried on playing when he was getting shit around Christmas time. I think he kept his head down. I think since sort of February time, I think he's played really well. And I think he's actually done quite well assisting on other goals as well. So he's in third for me. Second?
Lukaku. Let's move on then.
For all them reasons.
Yeah, again, I'm the same as Ant there. I think he is limited. And I don't think he's been that great, but I think he's, without his goals, like you said, we'd struggle. And the last three games without him in there, that focal point of the team, you realise that we do miss that sort of striker.
Yeah, it's going to be good to see him back next week, isn't it? Yep.
Yeah. Are we sat on second now?
We are on second now.
We're on second. Okay. I'll have De Gea because...
Second?
Yeah, I do think he's second. The reason I'm saying, I'll come to my... I'll tell you why he's second when I come to my number one.
That's my lie.
No. He's second because... you know, I think he leads by example. He's never in the press crying about, you know, wanting to leave and stuff, despite him being probably better than us. He could be on in his fourth European Cup final next week if he'd have left. But you never hear a peep out of him. Just, you know, effort and leading by example. And I think he should be our captain.
Just had to have a little pause there. Normally when I pause something, it's because something completely and utterly litigious has just been uttered and I'm having to get on the phone to lawyers, but somebody wanted a set of jump leads. Not sure whether it's for a car or for a person, but we couldn't help. Or for United even. Had you finished?
No, I was up to the point where I said De Gea number two, and I just think United are missing a trick by not making him captain, because, you know, players come to clubs because they want to play with others. And, you know, I think we have to do everything to keep those world-class players.
Do you reckon he's looking at the fact that since that fax machine didn't work, he could have won three European Cups and probably regretting
it? Fourth final next week, yeah. And that's just unbelievable, isn't it? And he's still at United.
We drop him for finals usually.
Well, just on that, obviously Romero making an appearance today. He did make one brilliant save, but then also dropped one. We're not going to see him next week, surely.
That was the thing today. I think whoever played today won't be playing next week.
Yeah. Second place?
Lukaku for me. Goals. And he's improved a lot as well. His all-round game. Usually what they said. So, yeah.
Relative to speaking, I'm going to say Ashley Young. He's done a really good job at left back. He's not a left back, clearly, and it does frustrate the hell out of me how he tries to play balls down the line with the outside of his right foot. But he's marked the best player in the league, supposedly out of the game twice. Who I don't think is that good anyway. By the way, I think he's had a fluke season. But yeah, Ashley Young for me. Salah.
You're right. Salah's had a fluke season. Yeah, I'd love a fluke season like that. To be honest. Do you remember when Stu Edwards?
He's only 45th goal.
That's it. Yeah. Apparently, 40 of them were offside. Fucking hell. Do you remember when Stu Edwards said he thought Ashley Young had a poor game against him at Old Trafford? He didn't have a fucking sniff at any point during the night. I'm giving mine to De Gea as well, largely because there is not a fucking chance I'm giving Manchester United's player of the year to a goalkeeper. I just can't do it. He's been outstanding, but there's also an element to say he's just done his job exceptionally well, and that's all I can say. But there's no way I'm giving him the player of the year, because I just can't do that. That's not United's philosophy, so hey, that's it. Right, who's your player of the year?
If anyone's being fair, De Gea absolutely pisses it.
Well, we're not, but there's only you being
fair. I'm just going to be fair and say De Gea.
I know, but that's just wrong, isn't it?
I know, it's horrible. It's
do you know, someone was telling me he's made the fourth most saves in the league. That's just a disgrace.
He genuinely, like I said, if I'd probably put Lukaku 7 out of 10 at second.
How can you
praise about 9.5?
How can you praise those clowns in front of him if he's made the fourth most saves? Like you usually do. Well, you get off on one when Phil Jones even walks on the pitch. He doesn't have to play well.
Well,
did you like him tripping over the AstroTurf carpet? I thought
it was the most Phil Jones thing I've ever seen, wasn't it?
So you're De Gea.
I'm Matic, me. I just think he's really come in and made a difference in games against good opposition, and that's why I'm giving it him.
De Gea, because our fucking best player. Simple as that. So.
Well, that's you not really how it works, though, is it?
I know, but he has been this season. He's our best player, and he has been this season. So yeah. Simple.
Hasn't he won our actual Player of the Year award?
How many games do you reckon he's had something to do in? As a United goalie, how many games do you reckon he's had something to do in? I don't think it's that where he's had to make a good save. I reckon half. So how can the goalie how can the goalie be Player of the Year?
Because we've got no outstanding outfield players.
I reckon Matic has made an impact in far more games than half. Definitely.
De Gea.
De Gea.
But you know, just purely by the number of points that he has won us, but saying that Lukaku's won us points since Christmas, without De Gea's saves in certain games, then we won't finish second. And he, you know, if you're looking at world class players, he's one of our very few.
Yeah. Player of the year should be someone who is faultless in training, does a brilliant performance when they're out on the field of play, and brings absolute delight to the people that follow it. So I'm giving it to Nicky Henderson's Altior, the horse who won the champion chase. And if anything sums up United season, I've had to give my fucking Player of the Year award to a fucking horse. That's how fucking bad it's been. So yeah, that's it. I can't bring myself to give it to anybody else. So that's it, really. Thanks for everything this season, gents. And for sticking out here doing podcasts after the game. Obviously, selling the mag's been there. It's definitely been our toughest year yet on the weather point of view, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was good, nice today, but probably too warm today.
I thought it was a bit hot.
Is it just? Is it too hard to ask for fucking mild weather? All I want, 10 degrees.
Yeah, that's it.
Wear a jumper and be all right.
Yeah. So United have let us down all season. The skies have let us down all season. But anyway, we appreciate all your feedback and your comments, and for the consistent downloads of it. If you want us to keep doing that, then keep doing it. And we'll keep coming back and doing these things. We will be back after Wembley. I don't know whether Andy's doing it or whether he wants me to do one as well. We'll sort some out. But certainly from us, from a seller's point of view, thanks for all your feedback. It's been great. And thanks for listening to us, because we appreciate you. And have a great summer.
Thanks for listening to the latest United We Stand podcast, brought to you by Red Army Bet. We offer the best available odds on a United win, as well as a host of special bets created by Red. With half our net profits being donated to United supporters groups, Red Army Bet is about fans, by fans, for fans. Check out our website, redarmybet.com, or download the app. Red Army Bet, we all follow United.